guys. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper.
This is Joe Bob Briggs.
This is Jeffrey Combs.
Hey, this is Scotty in from Anthrax.
Hi, you're listening to Adrienne Barbeau.
Hi, this is Doc Bradley. You're listening to Quality Time.
You're listening to Quality Time.
Quality Time Broadcast.
And you're listening to Quality Time.
Quality Time Podcast.
I'm saying this under duress.
You better keep listening or I will tear your soul apart.
Jeremy.
I have a special rat story today.
Oh, no. Good. I can't wait.
It's a story about rats.
Do you just want to bring it up right now and it'll be our pre-show bamble before we start the show?
Well, you could do some pre-show bramble. I love the pre-show bramble.
Good to see you, Jer. I'm a little worried about you, but I'm glad you're here.
Everything's just fine. I just haven't shaved for a week.
Really, I mean, really, I haven't either, but
I'm really getting to know my feminine side this week.
Yeah, Jeremy, there's a lot I can teach you. Like, don't wash your bust, don't shave, let everything hang out, chase away every man that's ever cared about you.
I have a mirror, and I look down at my crotch area where my chode is, and. I'm pretty sure there's like a little line down there, and my parents sewed up my vagina when I was born.
There we go. Well, that's actually, Jeremy, that's where you put the videotapes, if you remember anything about our last episode.
And my real penis is just pretty much skin that's just mixed with some popsicle sticks that isn't really real.
What? Where is he's in rare form today? I don't know what to do with him.
Grateful.
But my story about rats. I have to get my story about rats.
Yeah. Tell us about the story about rats. Yeah.
So yesterday, this is 100% true. Not crazy talk about popsicle dicks. The wife was working in the kitchen making me a nice breakfast, and unbeknownst to her. And I didn't even know it until she screamed. She's walking through the main dining room and had to stop and screamed at the top of her lungs because a dog had left a small rat right in the main entryway.
Oh, it's like a gift for you.
Yeah, and it definitely had the dog's mouth marks around it, and it was barely alive. And obviously, she wouldn't have been able to get it unless it had already been poisoned, because they're slow and they're dumb. And, yeah, didn't even hear. All of a sudden, it's just there. And the dog was very proud. She's like, oh, I'll put this where somebody else. Give me praise for killing a rat.
I'll put this in a prominent spot for Daddy.
she's gotten a couple out in the yard, but I don't know if she brought it in or if it had already been in the house. But that's the first one I've seen in a week. The week before that was the mother of all rats sauntered across and hid under one of our furniture thing, which I tried to shoot at it with a BB gun and wasn't successful.
I am relatively certain, just from your behavior as of late, that you're not even Jeremy. You are simply a horde of rats within Jeremy's husk that has eaten him out and is moving his lips and talking.
Oh, Jeremy, I'm sorry.
I am actually the rat now. I am the rat pretending to be a human.
He's like Prince of Darkness.
We have learned your language.
Bug stack.
We have learned your language, and we'll be taking over soon.
Oh, gosh. Well, he sounds very smart. Are we ready to just kick off the pod? Welcome to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth. Hey, how's it going? And of course, I'm always joined by my brother, Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
Oh, it's me,
Robert England.
Oh my gosh, Robert England. The voice only a pedophile could love.
Yes, I love all your programs, and really, I am Freddy in your dreams. I'll cut your penis off.
All right.
But only if you're doing it as part of transgender surgery.
All right, nice. Okay, transgender Freddy. I like that. That's very progressive.
Yes, I will change you into a man from a woman. But I don't do it the other way around.
Oh, okay, got it. So, and we're also joined by the
because I will never attach a penis.
You're also joined by the very lovely, very talented Miss Ashley Pontius. How are you?
I'm not Ashley.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ashley. Oh. Who's on the program? And make sure you still get close to the microphone.
I'm the rat in Jeremy's living room.
All right, welcome to the Rat Cast, home of just the rat body and the single rat. I'm Eric Woodworth. Let's get the game show started. So,
Did you know why they call him the Rat Pack?
Please tell.
Because between Sinatra and Sammy and the other Carson and everything, they never talk about the guy who was an actual live human sized rat.
Oh, okay, yeah. Dean Martin was an actual rat that they would shave and paint every day.
No, they just blurred him out because he's always in the pictures, but they blurred him out because they don't want to talk about rat people now.
Are you on? Are you on fucking Vianon right now? Is this the next level of the hidden rat conspiracy that's running our country?
No, it's not me. I'm Mr. Ratman now.
Oh gosh, it's Mr. Ratman. I don't know. The show's already off the rails. I can't even write this
shit. I lost my job. I have bipolar problems now.
Oh god, no. It's Ash Rat. Oh no.
I was going to say, what did I do? Okay, we get it. I'm single. Leave me alone. I'm being attacked.
I'm not on the attack side. I'm pro Rat Ashley. You've always known this.
It kind of makes sense because of my weird addiction to cheese and the fact that I'm constantly being chased out of public venues.
Oh, good times. A lot of fun. Jeremy, can I bring up one thing before we get too far into the show? And Ashley, I don't know if we told you this, but our mom, she went to the hospital this week, okay?
Oh,
now, she just got out yesterday. She, like, fainted. They don't know what's wrong with her. Probably cancer or something. Who knows? But we are... Jeremy's on the text message thread with me, okay? Jeremy immediately poses the question, cool, what are the visiting hours? Now, Jeremy, you've just been to the hospital recently with your nose, right?
Yeah.
There's no visiting hours currently at the hospital. You can't go visit people when it's COVID right now, but you still ask to see. I just want to know where
COVID.
You're... No, but... The COVID protocols, you're not allowed to have any guests in the hospital. I think you're allowed one, and it's usually like one person. Oh, so you didn't know, you went to the hospital and you didn't pick that up at all?
No. Why would you have people not be able to see you at the hospital unless you had COVID?
It's in the news. It's in everything. You can't go to see your friend.
No, I've never heard that.
This is new information to you? I laughed at that when I saw it. I was just like, who's going to tell Jeremy that there's no guests allowed at the hospital currently?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, there's people
Mama Woodworth is out of commission until she gets better.
What if your kid gets hit by a car? They'll be like, oh no, it's COVID. You can't visit your dying kid. Fuck that.
You only get one.
That.
You only get one.
Shit I've ever heard.
So that kid has to pick their favorite parent to go say goodbye to. That's
Yeah. Only one parent can see their dying kid. Oh, because it's protocol for COVID. Fuck COVID. Fuck that. Shit I've ever fucking heard.
Hey, Jerry, I just want to know that you're very mad about this. This has been going on all of 2020, like all since March.
People this year put their people's asses heads so far up their fucking asses they can't fucking see straight anymore.
I'm so glad that Eric was like, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to take the podcast completely off track.
Yes. I got Jeremy really fired up right now, but it's something that's happened for like a very long time, and now he's the light's been shed on it, and he's gonna. Are you ready to clap back against the hospitals, Jeremy? Are you gonna pull like what's that movie?
What's the point in fighting any sort of logic anymore? Because logic is dead. Logic is completely gone.
You know what you could do, Jerry? You could catch some of those rats and set them loose in the hospital.
Yeah, and like make a fun mousetrap game.
Yes, that'll actually help people's intellect. That'll definitely help.
100%. Spread those diseases.
I like it. Well, hey,
I'm waiting for a real pandemic that kills millions of people so we can just fill up catacombs with just skulls like France did.
Yeah.
Hey, look, if my diarrhea comes back, I'll give everybody Ebola.
So. I think that's one thing I would think COVID was a real pandemic if we were building catacombs of skulls. Until that, the lockdowns need to end. I need catacombs and sarcophagus. Until we're making sarcophaguses that hide fucking clues to where to find the Holy Grail, we need to we're going back to the movies then.
You know, they probably just threw the bodies in there to just like decay and to just turn to dust eventually. But some real do-gooder finally went down there like, you know, we can organize all these body parts into nice little rows and put rows of skulls together and make it the creepiest fucking thing to possibly ever see in your life in the dark. And it just made those catacombs one of the greatest horror stories ever. So
it's kind of fantastic, and it makes sense because, I mean, my entire career has been built on the suffering of others, so I get
it. And I'm just waiting for that remake of like Hellraiser when all those bodies are like reinformed, but they have to reform like a bad episode of Twister where all the bodies have to reform from like rows apart. It's like, oh, my arm's coming, and I'm still stuck in a big body pile, so. Yeah, Hellraiser, the Catacombs of France.
Hellraiser, Catacombs Edition 2.
So, by the way, if you're ever in the Catacombs of France, don't bleed on the skulls and shit down there.
All right, say no more, I won't.
Okay, I'll wear a tampon.
Now, hey, Jeremy, I know Ash has seen it, but have you seen fucking Psycho Goreman yet?
No.
Do you know what Psycho Goreman is?
No.
Jeremy, Psycho Goreman, I rented it on Amazon. I paid the big bucks, rented it on Amazon, and I don't regret it. Just came out about 2 weeks ago, and it is about a little girl who is finds basically a gem that controls the most evil alien demon in the whole world. It is a fucking 10 out of 10. I'm trying to pull up the trailer so I can show you, Jeremy, because I am so excited. Also, we got followed by the producer of Psycho Goreman, as well as the one of the
movie itself.
Yeah.
I'm just really glad it has nothing to do with Al Gore.
I just want to show you.
Many moons ago.
Here you go, Jeremy. Watch. Give this a look.
A nameless evil was imprisoned in a place far beyond reach.
Hurry up!
If he were ever to be released, it would spell certain doom for all existence.
Is that fear I smell? Your planet will be torn to pieces, and I will
Mimi,
treat your
cook.
Screams as I rip.
Is this yours?
Oh my god.
Gem of Paraxenite. Whoever wields it is able to command me.
Go over there and wait for us to come back in the morning.
You will suffer an eternity for this.
Mom, Dad, I watched the movie Psycho Goreman, or PG for short.
I will bathe in your blood.
Don't worry.
Be worried. Slow down!
Gonna kill everybody, not unless I tell him to.
What did you three maniacs get up to?
This is getting a little weird.
This sick game must come to an end. She will enslave the galaxy into endless servitude.
Kill him!
Cool.
The
ultimate evil has awoken.
There's a new god in town, and his name? Psycho Gorman.
It was nice meeting you.
It would be nicer if you were dead.
All right, bye.
So that is Psycho Gorman, Jeremy. And let me tell you, the trailer does not lie. It is, if I were to explain the movie, it's like watching like an episode, like a 90-minute episode of the old Power Rangers, except like there's no cursing. It's a very much little kid-centric. And then it's juxtaposed with GWAR-level violence. And I fucking loved it so much.
I made the mistake of showing it to my 8-year-old goddaughter.
Oh, did she love it or hate it?
She fucking loved it, but I had to tell her parents, and I was like, if she has nightmares, I guess you can call me and complain. Because I didn't realize just how violent it was going to be. And then every time they'd say like the F word or something, I'd be like, don't say that word. And then whenever they... I won't say much else, but there's a part where someone breaks a crucifix and she's like, that's awesome. I'm like, you're 8. You can't. Don't do that. Like,
there.
But no, it was awesome. I'm 9 out of 10. Like, I mean, the graphics were great. I think it's well shot. Yeah, highly recommend.
Yeah, it's by
can
the...
I ask the...
Yeah, yeah, go
can
for
I
it.
Can I ask the important question? Is the Psycho Gorman actually Howie Mandel?
Yes, that is. Germaphobe.
So it's just like Little Monsters then.
Yes, it's pretty much Little Monsters too.
What would you do if I had a demon that I control with a special gem? Dun, dun. Send me a gem and I'll control your soul. And I'll try not to kill people because I command them. I get by with my special demon friend. He kills people. I get by.
Well, really, there was a critic who actually said that, just like Eric had mentioned, it's like Power Rangers meets Wishmaster, which I think is a really good comparison.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that yours truly knew of someone in Hagerstown who owned Jeffrey Dahmer's glasses, and I put the seller in touch with a buyer, and I facilitated the trade of Jeffrey Dahmer's glasses yesterday.
You're a fucking...
What did they trade them for?
$850.
Oh, all right.
Oh, just cash. It wasn't a trade then, so...
It was a purchase, but I was trying to sound important. Don't think
you're
for me there.
You're a murder memorabilia. You're a murder memorabilia dealer now. You peddle in human flesh.
I know. Like, I just feel so important. Like, literally, is that not the story of my life? I'm not great. I just help other people be great.
Hell yeah. Well, good for you, Ash. I'm glad you fucking are brokering hot deals and stuff. Well, how come you didn't bring it to our table? How do you know that the Quality Time podcast didn't want to own Jeffrey Dahmer's glasses?
Let's see, because 2/3 of us are poor.
So, okay.
Yeah, that's... I assumed it wouldn't be something you would want to spend your money on, Eric.
I don't, but I would have liked to be asked.
You know what? That's fair. The next time I'm aware of some murderer leaving behind his dirty underwear, I'll give you a shout.
Put it like this. If you facilitate the sale of Ed Gein's skin lamp and you don't ask me, consider us not friends anymore, okay?
Why do you think I wouldn't buy it for myself?
Oh man.
Oh, I just learned about the guy who did the Sidro McDonald's massacre back in 1984, where he decided to go into a McDonald's and just kill everybody. And he ended up killing 19 people and injuring 21.
Mm.
So kind of like Falling Down, but real life.
And actually, he actually went on to open the store Forever 21, because that was his final kill count. It's good.
That's good. I like.
I think he was actually one of the founders of Five Guys Plus Murder.
So. Oh, Five Guys Plus Murder.
Yeah.
Hey,
apparently, Apparently, the morning that he decided to go on his murder spree, he told his wife, "I'm going out hunting people today." And that was his last thing he said to his family. He was like, "I'm not coming back."
Oh, God.
All right. Nice.
Oh, he is the most evil, insidious thing about him being such a bastard was he was actually shooting kids inside the McDonald's and an infant. He's just pure fucking piece of shit.
Did anybody ever ask him what it was like growing up inside of the movie The Toxic Avenger? Or because I'd be curious to know about how that.
I wonder if he was the actual inspiration for the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
So, no, he had both of his arms and didn't wear face paint. So
all right, that makes sense. hey, this is one last thing. It's just a quick back to Psycho Goreman. Jeremy, when you see Psycho Goreman, because I will make you watch it at some point, I'm going to make a prediction that your favorite part of the movie will be the police officer. That's all I'll say. The police officer will be your favorite part of the movie. I don't think there's any questions, ifs, ands, or buts about it. You will, I can almost, as I was watching it, I could hear you uncontrollably scream laughing the entire time. Just go, like that. You are going to be a blabbering idiot when you see that part. So shout outs again, Psycho Goreman, followers of the Quality Time Pod. Hopefully they're listening to this and get a big plug. And hey, if you are listening, Psycho Goreman producers, directors, whatever. By the way, the guy who directed this, he also directed the movie The Void, if you're familiar with The Void, which is like a very much a throwback to The Thing. I really enjoyed that one too. So maybe we could get him on the show if we send him a little hop in his DMs or something.
Can I ask one more question about the movie?
Yeah, go for it. Shoot.
Is the Psycho Goreman played by Anthony Perkins?
No, not I don't think so. Why?
Because he was in Psycho.
Psycho
Goreman.
Jeremy, that was good.
Well, that's your worst bit of the night so far. You know what? I don't know if she's ready for it or not, but I think it's about that time again for a little bit of honest ash,
or as we like to call it, Ashy Slashy's Minute.
Oh, and it's about that time again for another segment of Honest Ash, and here's Ashley Pontius.
Oh, hi listeners. I wanted to be very honest today and let you know that if I were to remove all of my body hair, it would take me 3.5 hours and a pound of vegan wax. This is Ashley Pontius.
Wow. So join us again next week for another segment of Honest Ash, where we actually find out she is indeed the Sasquatch. She's been hiding in plain sight this entire time.
Can we dedicate this one to her boss?
Yes. Ashley, are you? Yeah, Ash told us this earlier this week. Ashley thinks that her boss is listening to the show now. So I feel like we're getting a reserved version of Ashley Pontius as of late so that she could keep her government job.
First of all, let me say that little comment about the Sasquatch. I will have you know that a boyfriend once called me the Ashquatch.
You know, if we actually had names for episodes like that weren't the movie that we were doing, that would be the episode name is the Asquatch right now. That's so good. Gosh. Hell yeah. No, but so Ashley, your boss now knows about the Quality Time Pod, and you asked him not to listen to it, but you don't know if they are or not, right?
I don't know, because this is how it goes. I was offline forever, and we're trying to get me back onto our company's VPN. So we're just killing time. There's nothing to do, and him and I are chatting. And all of a sudden, he goes, "How's Eric Woodworth?" And I can feel my butthole get real tight, and I'm afraid, because I'm like, what do you know? And I'm like, do you know Eric? And he goes, "Well, isn't he your co-host?" I go, "I'm sorry?" He's like, on Quality Time, isn't that what you call it? And I go, oh, no. Ashley, I see you mentioned a couple times, what's Honest Ash? And I go, that's it. That's where I reveal horrible secrets about myself on our podcast. And he goes, I bet your parents love that. I was like, they sure do. And he's like, should I listen to any of these? And I was like, I would encourage you not to. I would like to keep this job, please.
Do you think your boss would come on the show and talk about his experience with Quality Time and your future employment?
That would probably be the last episode I get to do with Quality Time. Or I get to do lots of Quality Time.
Or your permanent...
I'm unemployed.
Your permanent stature in Quality Time. I think
it's... I will never be hired by the government again.
Well, that's good. I think it... We say, you know, we don't say anything too crazy on here, you know? We know what the right and wrong is, you know? We know that, you know...
Eric, we have a Christmas special with a Christmas song about a Nazi.
Yeah, we are regular guys and gals that just do a podcast that believe that maybe the totals of the Holocaust were a little overblown. Other than that, I mean, we're just normal people.
And pussy and poo. Those are my three, okay? But speaking of poo, I know we need to get this show on the road.
We do.
Eric and I talked the other day. Realized we haven't addressed everybody on the show. Jeremy, you know this. Shit myself a lot. My butthole never seems to work. I'm a broken human being. Men don't want to saddle themselves to my dookie cart. So I found out at Christmas time, listeners, that the reason I've been sick for like a long time is I have an intolerance to artificial sweeteners. So ever since we figured that out, I'm not sick anymore and my butthole works. It's a Christmas miracle. God won't do anything else for me, but he fixed my butthole. But now, remember, just like Wishmaster, there's a trade-off, and now I have uncontrollable hives.
Yeah, man.
You know why artificial sweeteners are bad for you, right?
Because it's not real love.
No, it's because they're laced with ricin.
Oh, they're laced with ricin.
Ricin, yes.
Yeah.
It's the poison form of rice.
I thought that was Vietnamese food, but anyway.
Jerry's level of stupidity never ceases to amaze me, and I don't want you to ever change, you brave soul, you.
By the way, I haven't seen the movie tonight, and but I did look at like the VHS box of it, and I made a song about it.
Okay, yeah, let's go ahead. Tonight we're going over 1997's Wishmaster, a classic. And you know what? We'll kick it off with a little Jeremy Aridge. Here we go.
It's like a space.
Jeremy, just knowing our history, the things we've been through, is this song just a total ripoff of the song Time Boxer from the SNL short Time Boxer with George Foreman?
Time Boxer,
he goes through time beating up people. And it's just George Foreman
never,
going in
never
time.
Never heard of that.
Oh, okay. You know,
mine is totally original, and I don't beat off, take off of other songs like every single Barnes and Barnes song. And, so I think this movie was based off of that Queensryche song, you know, like you know, the Wishmaster will come to your room and have sex with you and take you into outer space. So,
all right. So, this movie, Wishmaster, which is, I will tell you right now, underrated classic. I think he belongs right in there with the Freddies and the Jasons of the world. At least a Saw level of respect the Wishmaster deserves, personally.
Well, I honestly feel like he deserves even a closer stance next to, like, Hellraiser. They're very Hellraiser-type elements as we go through this movie that I just think it deserves more respect.
It's directed, part one is written and directed by Robert Kurtzman, who's actually is a fucking horror icon in and of himself. He did the special makeup effects for Nightmare on Elm Street, From Dusk Till Dawn, as most recently as A Haunting on Hill House, which the fucking monsters in that are fucking phenomenal, as well as Dr. Sleep. So he's been in the industry for a very, very long time. He's great in that respect, but they gave him the directorial debut in this, and he must have called every horror person he knows, because this movie has a who's who of actors in it from all other horror films. Starting out right from the start, Angus Scrimm, of course, who's the tall man from Phantasm, as well as Reggie Bannister, who plays Reggie from Phantasm. They both have cameos in this. Of course, the big three, Candyman Tony Todd has a cameo. Robert Englund has a pretty decent supporting actor role, who plays the part, of course, of Freddy Krueger. Kane Hodder, who plays Jason in multiple Friday the 13th films, has a cameo in this film. But there's also some beautiful little side ones, like Ted Raimi is in this movie from Army of Darkness and other Sam Raimi films.
Otherwise known as the Sweet Henrietta.
Yes, Sweet Henrietta from Evil Dead 2. It also has the Wishmaster, when he's in his like little form, which we'll get to later on in the movie, played by none other than Vern Troyer of many
movies. Probably one of his earliest roles, too.
Yeah, so he's in this. And it goes all the way to Joseph Pilato, who Joseph Pilato is the guy from Dawn of the Dead, who's the main villain in Dawn of the Dead. He plays the crane operator in this movie. So just a who's who of the horror world in this movie, all making cameos.
I forget. Did you already mention George Flower?
I did not mention George Flower, but George Flower plays the bum who's in also plays a bum in Escape from New York, as well as one of the main guys at the end of the movie They Live, one of my favorite films.
They said if I wear this, I'm the president.
But I'm sorry, Eric, who did you say directed this?
That would Kurtzman. Kurtzman. Robert Kurtzman.
But so was Wes Craven the producer then?
Could have been. It said
This is a Wes Craven Presents.
Yeah, so
I know that he released on the box presented it.
Well, yeah, he it sounds like he was a producer of the film, and he said, "Hey, my special effects guy can make a great movie. Here you go. He's make this evil genie movie."
And he said, "Can you give him a job to Robert Englund?" So
yes.
Well, but I mean, it's an absolutely perfect lineup, in my opinion. Again, we've already gone through all these people that are in it, who are at least, whether it's a really huge role down to the smallest. But even the other person that worked on the script was Peter Atkins, who wrote three of the worst Hellraisers, in my opinion. But I mean, still, to me, it explains some of those Hellraiser pieces we see later throughout the movie. I definitely think he had a huge hand in that as well.
I hate to say I recognize Kurtzman during the scene where he gets killed by the piano wire. And I'm guessing, because I'm not 100% sure of this, I think I recognized him from being the main three that worked on Evil Dead 2 effects. Of course, he was speaking with Nicotero, who's also pretty big in this. Right. Nicotero is one of the guys shot in being one of the army men in Day of the Dead as well. And I don't think he's done anything since then. So
yes, Greg Nicotero, who's most famously worked on The Walking Dead for the last 10 years, but and who also did work on this film as well. Back to the writer, though, Peter Atkins. You mentioned that he had written some of the worst Hellraisers. He wrote Hellraiser 2, 3, and 4 of the series, which honestly aren't the worst Hellraisers. Hellraiser 2 is serviceable. Hellraiser 3 is only bad for the simple fact that there is a Cenobite that shoots DVDs. But apart from that, it's an okay movie. And Hellraiser 4 at least tries. So,
no, that's fair. You're right. I probably should have reworded that, but I would have been more impressed if he like had worked on the original script or just did number two. I would have been like, okay, this guy's legit. But I'm like, during like three of these films, like something wasn't working.
Hold on real quick, Jeremy.
The one more thing about Peter Atkins, the writer. You know what other movie he wrote, Jeremy? 1995's the live action version of Fist of the North Star. He wrote that as well.
So, wow.
There you go.
Nice.
I thought I'd throw that out there.
I've been working on a more retro Hellraiser, and it's based in the 70s, and there's a reel to reel Hell Cenobite and an 8-track Cenobite.
Okay, I like it. The 70s one. What about the Matthew McConaughey Cenobite, where he is just like, are you 8 million years old? Be a lot cooler if you were 7. All right. I don't know.
You know, we have so many sights to show you. All right.
My victims get younger. I stay the same age.
Time to play.
So this movie, again, this movie is basically has horror royalty written all over it, and special effects to boot. It almost seems like a fun way to just like, hey, I always wanted a guy to look like a fucking giant lizard. Say no more. We'll put it in fucking Wishmaster. We'll do it. Not only that, we will do it in the opening scene. So speaking of the opening, let's go and hop in and hear Angus Scrim introduce the movie here.
Once, in a time before time, God breathed life into the universe, and the light gave birth to angels, and the earth gave birth to man, and the fire gave birth to the jinn, creatures condemned to dwell in the void between the worlds. One who wakes a jinn shall be given 3 wishes. Upon the granting of the third, the unholy legions of the jinn shall be freed upon the earth. Fear one thing only in all that is. Fear the jinn.
Ah! Fear the jinn! So it starts us off right into ancient Persia, where we get to see the king and his party making his wishes to the jinn, who's basically a genie in the lamp type character from Persian mythology. I don't know. Here we go. Here's some of the wishes that you get to hear the iconic voice of the Wishmaster.
Make your second wish.
Astonish me, Jin. Show me wonders.
As you wish.
Immediately, his party is thrown into total disarray. The opening scene is just a who's who of fucking murder. There's tree monsters that are created out in the party, monsters with their guts out, guys who a skeleton pops out of his entire body in the opening scene, and also just a weird lizard man on the floor. All great. Just that's the way you exclamation point start a fucking movie. Wishmaster starts it at 90 miles per hour,
which is how every Charlie Sheen's party ends.
Yes, so. This is just a regular Charlie Sheen party.
Yeah. I was literally just about to say this is the same effect I would have when I would do bachelorette parties. I get it.
And so I love the actor Andrew Divoff, I guess is how we pronounce it. We'll go with that. I don't know him from any other films except for The Wishmaster and his iconic voice, where he just talks like this. Would you like some wishes?
I would definitely put him top 10 of actors with really bad pockmarks, such as like Seal
and Edward James Olmos.
And yes, and of course, Das Boot, Jürgen Prochnow.
Yeah, so. Yeah. The best.
Bad. Like, you guys are right. I feel bad. Like, his face looks like the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Yeah. I also like that later in the movie, he's supposed to look sexually desirable. Like, who could ever turn down this hot, crater faced man?
Now the moon face.
So, I made the mistake of talking to him at the last Monster Mania he was at, and I for some stupid reason, I am kind of retarded sometimes. I really thought that he was one
Jeremy's
of the guys.
Jeremy's allowed to say it. He is one. So,
just like Sarah Silverman. So that he was one of the creepy fucking left turn head guys in the movie Jacob's Ladder. Because it looked a lot like the actor, and I showed him the video, and he's like, no, that's not me.
No, that rocks.
Oh, sorry, Jeremy. Well, I love the show Lost.
But if you ever saw the movie Jacob's Ladder, you know, what's his name? Andy Dufresne is at the party, and all of a sudden he sees some guy standing next to a doorway where his head just starts convulsing left and right like he's on drugs or something.
So. Oh, Tim Robbins?
Yeah, it's in Andy Dufresne, yeah.
So as this party is in total disarray, the wizard, I guess, or the shaman, whatever you want to call him, pleads with the Sultan to stop making wishes.
Then wish it away, exalted one. Wish it away.
Stop! No more wishes. I beg your majesty, silence. But my poor people, I must! Do you wish their fate on the entire world? No more wishes, please.
I warn you, wizard. Hold your tongue.
One more wish is all this creature needs. Three wishes granted to the one who woke him lets him open the gateway between the worlds.
New wonders, majesty. New splendors.
And new and terrible masters.
Yes.
I realize that the Wishmaster, all he does is just add the letter A after everything he says.
Yes, we don't do this, otherwise.
He's basically white Jar Jar Binks, is what I'm getting
at. He also
at.
Likes all Metallica songs.
Yes, he loves... Yeah! But eventually, the wizard pulls out this weird opal-colored fire gemstone, reads an incantation, and sucks the djinn back into it, where we get to see really shitty 90s CGI as this all happens. And it's probably my only thing I don't like about this movie is the fact of the shitty 90s, like, even for 90s level, bad CGI in the movie. But all the practical effects are 10 out of 10s. But yes, the djinn is now encased within this gem. And I like that they use the word gem and not stone, because, you know what, that's where Marvel fucked up. They're infinity gems, okay? Let's not get it twisted, Marvel.
Gems
okay.
Sound super gay, though, and reminds me of that, like, wasn't there, like, an 80s cartoon it's called Gem.
Yes, there
just
was
totally amazing. Totally amazing.
Totally amazing. Yes, we're familiar.
Totally
with
fantastic.
Gem. Fucking Gem rocks, bro.
She's in her own band.
That was the first women's empowerment movement. Was making a 80s hair metal band called Gem that was a cartoon.
I will not be over feminized by Eric and Jeremy.
Listen, we're the only ones standing up for women's rights on this show while Ash just lets them get shit on.
Gem lips.
Ashley's face.
Be the gem.
Shave off all of my body hair. I will take that 3.5 hours. I will cover you in glue. And
I deserve it. So we're
you
now.
You know how I spell the word gem?
Yeah.
J-E-M.
J-E-M, not, you don't use the G, you don't know G-E-M.
It's totally fantastic.
It's fun, believable.
Between Jim and Jem.
So, we're now transported to present-day America, and by that, I mean the 90s. We get to see good old Robert Englund and Ted Raimi in the opening scene here. Robert Englund is going to play...
Joe Pilato.
Raymond Beaumont, spelled in a way if you could see my notes, you would realize I need help. And...
Did any of you guys see any of the V series?
For Vendetta, or
no? Where everybody is the aliens are all lizard people, and Robert Englund is the very effeminate lizard man.
Nah, I didn't see it, bro.
Well, it's worth watching because you get to see Robert Englund as like a very effeminate lizard man.
Oh, okay. Well, I love. We get it. He's really stretching his acting chops.
He was the lovable alien. He would never eat your face.
So
or swallow a live rat.
So we get to see Ted Raimi and Robert Englund playing Mr. Beaumont, watching a crate get unloaded from a ship, which is this sacred statue that he's been in search of for such a long time, when the crane operator, who's played by Joseph Palazzo, is drunk on the job.
Palazzo.
And has a little problem with the crate.
Does the word dumbass mean anything to you? Watch that crate, that's very expensive stuff.
Off your side!
Oh, and it crushes poor Ted Raimi. Sweet Ted Raimi, who is in the movie for all of 30 seconds, gets crushed under the weight of a giant stone statue in a box.
I just want to say I wasn't that impressed by that scene because, like, do you know how many men I've crushed with my box?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. There's only one thing that could have made that scene better is when the crate crushes him, his eyeball pops out from under the crate.
So. Yeah, that would have rocked. That would have rocked. Yeah. And then we see one of the construction workers who looks like a 2018 version of Eric Woodworth, full mullet, ready to fuck, comes over and sees a broken piece of the statue and, oh, there's big old giant ruby gem in here. Gonna put this in my pocket, dick-a-dup-a-doo, and then walks off with the gem that has imprisoned the Wishmaster. So
I'm surprised that you didn't even know which wrestler that guy was. So.
No, what wrestler? That guy was a wrestler?
He looked like a wrestler.
You just think he looked like it. That just that was me, actually.
I think it was Ram Jam.
Ram Jam? Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Just like 2018 Eric, he's ready to walk off with other people's success.
So next we see the pawnbroker who that guy sold the gem to. He goes up to go get it appraised. They're pretty impressed with it, but they got to call in an expert, and that's going to be our heroine, Alex. So Alexandre, or as the Wishmaster calls it, Alexandria. I like your name because it ends with an A, and that's where I like to end all of my words.
I kind of want Eric to talk like this all the time.
This is how I talk. Yes, hello, welcome to technical support. Have you tried unplugging your computer and then plugging it back in?
Yes, motherfucker.
Do you wish that your HP Plus just worked right now?
And then that's...
Hi, welcome to Wishmaster Technical Support, where we can actually help you use a Samsung Galaxy from 2008.
That's...
Damn, ask wish she had it a new pair of panties.
Would you like to... close your eyes and touch my pockmarked face and read it like a braille book.
<That's>... the book of Eli on his face. Yes. Reading.
Yes, when I was younger, I had my mother use an ice cream scoop to actually transcribe all of the episodes of Little House on the Prairie across my cheeks.
I can just do the Wishmaster voice all day long and
just keep saying the word after everything while I'm thinking of the next thing to say.
I just want you to start parenting your girls with that voice.
Yes.
Be like, Daddy's gonna tuck you in. Yeah.
I see you've gotten a
prepare you to a park on my face cause you're deep.
Oh, yes, I see you've brought up the wonderful Seal. I love his music. Not it has nothing to do with what he looks like. I think he's beautiful on the inside.
He writes the most beautiful music between a man and another man.
Yes.
Sex together.
When men and men have sex together, that is the ultimate wish.
Thankfully, we know I'm a woman because I can't get that deep.
So we meet our hero Alex, and she's playing tennis. There's definitely some sexual tension between her and her coworker Josh, but she's brushing him off. She does, though, check the fire opal, and it is quite exquisite.
My God, a fire opal this size, it's magnificent.
How magnificent.
Excellent translucence. Mm-hmm. No other color traces. Mm-hmm. It's unique.
Oh, that's a good word. Oh, I love that word. Unique. Should fetch quite a price, yes?
Oh, yes.
Mm. I'm salivating. Get me a report ASAP.
Yes.
So her boss is ecstatic about the appraisal so far, but as she's looking at it by herself, you can hear the Wishmaster in her voice, in her head, say,
"Ooh, you woke me, and now I would like to read you this screenplay I've been working on for the last 2,000 years. It's called The Joey Fatone Story. It is just about Joey Fatone from NSYNC. I feel he was underappreciated during his tenure when clearly he was the dad figure of the group. He's gone on and done many things and now has children going through puberty."
So that's what the Wishmaster's been working on.
Well,
what's
welcome.
Happening today?
Welcome to Taco Bell. What do you wish? You wish the box set. Yes, you wish. What do you wish for your drink? Would you also wish some cinnamon sticks? You have wished your three wishes. Now drive around at the first window. Now I own your soul.
The Wishmaster just
woke. Now I'm hungry.
The Wishmaster just collecting souls all day at Taco Bell.
What do you wish for? A Baja Blast.
Actually, that's really smart. All the discontinued items be like, the customer's like, "Oh, you got rid of the gordita burrito? That's kind of sucks." It's like, "Do you wish to have it back?
Do you wish to have a double stack taco or not?"
"It will only cost you your soul. I know it's 2 a.m. and you are so stoned you can barely speak or drive your vehicle, but I will do it for you."
This is already going down. This is going to be a history-making episode. I can feel it. We've already had a Joey Fatone reference. We've had Taco Bell. The Wishmaster just fits in any situation in my eyes. So, under the microscope, she literally looks at this thing and literally sees a Jefferson Airplane video. Like, it's just like, now, 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 wow. It's fucking rad as hell. And she tells her boss she thinks there's something wrong with this evil gem that I'm looking at. She heads to go show it to Josh at the university, who reluctantly goes to run some tests on it, but he definitely wants some pussy in return. He was very clear. He's like, "Listen, I'm gonna run this thing under the laser. I want to fuck though."
Look, I just want to say, I don't understand why she won't fuck him. Because what has ever gone wrong by fucking your coworker?
Exactly.
How can that ever be a problem?
It's never gonna be a problem ever. You know. So.
It's a great idea. Like, more people should do it.
Alex. Alex then leaves, and this is another very cringy part to me. She teaches. She's the basketball coach at like a junior high school, and she teaches all white girls how to play basketball. And she, this fucking young Pat Summerall, is giving them a pep talk. And I grabbed a little of this audio.
But you don't always have that time in a game. Somebody's always going to be trying to take the ball away from you, and that's when you need stillness. Not in your body, in your mind. When you get a chance to make a shot, you've got to forget about everything else. Time doesn't exist. The other players do not exist. It is you and the basket. You see it. You find it. Shoot the ball.
Oh, way to go. Thanks, Pat Summerall. We're going to fucking nail this one, you cancer-riddled bitch. Shut your dumb ass up. What does she know about? By the way, do you know what she doesn't do in this movie? Ever touch a basketball. She doesn't even hold... I don't think she holds a basketball in this movie if she's coaching.
Which is so
kids.
Disappointing, because that would have been great at the end of the movie. That's how she defeats the Wishmaster. And yeah. She challenges to a game of one-on-one, and she's like, you're sure it's thumbskins.
Yeah, I want it to end like an Air Bud movie. That's exactly how it should have ended.
It's Air Buds in outer space.
Yes.
I just wanted to be perfectly honest and just say, look... All that matters is you're black. You can be any other basketball player that's white. That's all that matters.
But I'll say there's no black players, so they're already gonna fail.
Yeah.
Have you ever
know when they try to play the black team and they finally make 1 point versus the 100 points the black team has scored, and they're like, we made a point, yeah.
Have you guys ever seen this clip from The Ben Show? I don't know why this reminded me of it, but it's The Ben Show. It was a short-lived sketch comedy show on Comedy Central, and god damn it, if this isn't the funniest fucking sketch I think I've probably ever watched. I'm sure Ashley hasn't seen it. I'm pretty sure I've shown it to Jeremy, but this shit makes me laugh. So the setting is it's a high school football game, and Ben is playing the coach here, and he's trying to pep talk his guys. Here you go.
What the fuck was that, you fucking idiots? You're all fucking idiots, and you fucking suck. Jenkins! You fat black piece of shit! What the fuck is the point of being fat and black if you can't fucking tackle? Jefferson, what did I say is the only career path for you if you're fat and black?
Rapping and tackling, sir.
Thank you, Jefferson! Jenkins, I heard you in the shower, you fat fuck, and you sure as fuck can't fucking rap! So fucking tackle! Or don't be black! Where's Mossy? There he is. Here's my impression of Mossy trying to catch the ball. Oh, sushi egg raw. I'm a karate kid, but I can't fucking catch. Look at my fortune cookie. It says, I don't catch ball. Fuck you. Clark, hey, it's the quarterback. The good-looking fucking piece of shit who sucks. Spend all your time sucking on titties and sucking on pussies. Well, I got an idea. Spend less time sucking on pussies and sucking on titties and spend more time learning how to throw the fucking football. Give me that thing. Here's how you throw. You put it back and then you move your arm forward. And you couldn't even hit the side of Weinberg's nose. Stop giggling, Weinberg, you fucking Jewish piece of shit dyke. Yeah, you want to hear a fucking funny joke? I got one for you. Why do Jews play football? To get the quarterback. Still got it. What's up?
Oh, gosh.
Lopez, you looked good. Looked like you learned something from your eight brothers. You fucking, fucking, fucking idiots. I don't do this for the fucking money. I do it because I love you guys and I love this team.
Anyway, so that's a little bit from The Ben Show, the short-lived sketch comedy show. Ashley is so shocked and appalled, she can't even hold herself.
When do they start picking on Eskimos?
No Eskimo references, unfortunately. Yeah.
No, how about Amish?
Well, but it is snowing outside and I'm definitely an Esky ho.
Hey! Oh man,
made it through three episodes without sucking on the giant microphone.
Only three. Well, anyway,
she mixes it up.
So after our sweet Alex coaches up these girls, very much like the Ben Show, we then see Josh back running some laser tests on the gym. And here we go.
And laser scan. And the laser scan, damn it!
Oh, no. The gym doesn't like lasers. And he can't shut the machine down, and it splits the gem in pieces and causes a giant explosion in the lab. Shit is flying everywhere. The Wishmaster is free and is just a bloody, tiny, little man, actually played by Vern Troyer, all done up as the Wishmaster here on the floor. Also kind of oddly looks like, if you've ever seen Poltergeist 2, when he coughs up the worm later in the movie, looks very much like that. Very similar.
It looks like the kid that I got rid of last summer.
So, and Josh is extremely bloody and on the floor and missing a call from Alex, where he does hear the Wishmaster learns her name. He goes,
"Ooh, Alexandra, yes, let me crawl my midget body over to him and proposition this suffering man to see if I can help him out."
And he crawls his way over to Josh, and we hear this.
The pain terrible.
Oh, God.
I can help you with that. I can ease your suffering. All you have to do is ask. Tell me you want the pain to cease.
Yes.
And
as you wish.
Oh, and he obliges him immediately as he kills Josh and writhes in pain. But while this is all happening, there seems to be a telekinetic link between Alex and the Wishmaster, as she seems to experience everything the Wishmaster is experiencing.
Doesn't it seem kind of ironic that he wished for, like, no pain, but he killed him instead of, like, you know, making him not feel pain?
Yeah, but it is, it's funny you mentioned the word ironic, because this is actually, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, Alanis Morissette's album was inspired by Dave Coulier, but the song Ironic was actually about this. Little known fact. And that's going to bring us to an end of episode one of Wishmaster. Josh is dead. What's gonna happen? Will he make all the wishes? Will this wide-eyed bitch be able to defeat this ancient evil that's basically a genie that isn't Robin Williams? You have to tune in next Monday to get all the scoop on that. Anyway, you can catch all things Ashley Pontius. She's Ashley Pontius Laughs on all the types of social media. All things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. Links to our merch store and shit is right there. Jeremy, take us out of here.
Oh, it's like a...